live. You can bring up anything you want. As we kick off another week of fun here, you can, of course, take control of the airwaves, the number 1-855-450-FREE. That's toll-free and brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 855-450-3733. And joining you in studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Jason.
And Luther.
And, of course, we want to invite you to our website over at freetalklive.com. You can enjoy the various features you'll find there completely free. So once again, that's freetalklive.com. Of course, much to discuss. We'll take your calls about whatever is on your mind as well. That's the point of the program. And for those that haven't maybe heard our weekend edition of the show, the Occupy events have been going on nationwide. Saturday was the National Occupy Day of some sort, and events broke out that in places where they had not yet occurred, like here in our very own Keene, New Hampshire. I understand there's also stuff going on around the world for the Occupy protests slash demonstrations slash whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. And apparently, you know, in some places they're having more success than others. New York City, they had threatened to shut them down. They backed down on that threat. In other cities, however, they did come in with police, and they did take people's tents away and take their property and make arrests as well. So, you know, there's no consistency to whether or not the occupiers have been left alone across the country. And so we're certainly keeping an eye on that situation as it continues to develop. I have been pretty much disconnected from the Occupy news for today, so I don't know if either of you have heard anything as far as changes on the nationwide front.
Not so much as changes. I watched another one of Adam Kokesh's videos down in D.C. They seem to still be there occupying. I heard from friends out in Detroit, the Detroit area, that they are there occupying. So it seems like it's still going strong.
Yeah, New York City, they're still there. I think they made an agreement with the private property owners that allow them to stay. They've been keeping the place more clean. And,
right.
And they can do that because I just read that they have raised over $300,000. And when I was there, they had a general assembly to spend $3,000 on like the cleaning and maintenance. And they were talking about getting like a certified professional to come through and you know, certify that it is a clean area. So I think they're taking the right steps.
Wow.
And I think that's great. You know, a lot of people talk about the collectivist nature or they're all socialists. But what they're doing is they're creating a voluntary community. They're coming together. They're, you know, feeding people, protesters and homeless. You know, they're living together and they're trying to make it work. So I'd love to see that in every community, people coming together like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that are complaining about Occupy whatever have not actually gone to any of the Occupy events. I think that, you know, they're just kind of viewing it from you know, askance, and they're looking down and looking at whatever the media is saying and taking that as, you know, the gospel truth. And I think that, you know, you really have to go to experience it to know for sure. And same with a Tea Party. You know, it's just not fair to label everybody at a Tea Party a fascist. The fascists are in attendance, as in the socialists are in attendance at the Occupy events. But that doesn't mean that there aren't also in attendance a bunch of people who maybe aren't so sure what they're looking for. They, you know, they know something's wrong, but they don't know what they need to do to fix it. In
right.
fact, there was a post on the radio forum, one of the radio forums, it is kind of like an industry radio rat forum that I frequent from time to time, where essentially the Occupy protests were being called out, and someone apparently listened to an episode of this show where I had said that it's okay that people don't know what they want, as though you have to know exactly what you want in order to go out and protest. And I think it's entirely fine if you don't know what you want, because you're getting around to other people who have ideas, and you can share those ideas with one another and inspire each other and have conversations and then come home with something you didn't, you know, something you didn't know about prior to going to one of these events.
Right. They're trying to exercise a direct democracy by coming together and trying to build their demands from there and figure out what they want, instead of people showing up and saying this is what they demand. They're trying to get, you know, a larger group of people to come together. And I was just in New York City for about a week and a half,
mm-hmm.
And I went to Times Square on the 15th, the global day of protests, and there were thousands, tens of thousands of people out there. Some were tourists, sure, but I saw a lot of signs, and I try to treat everybody as individuals, but there was a lot of bad ideas in that crowd. One guy had a sign that said, "I love government bacon," and I was able to interview him about, you know, where do these taxes come from? What are you willing to do to people that don't want to pay for your government bacon?
Oh, boy.
And I think he got the point towards the end of our conversation that government is force. And I think there's a lot of misdirected anger at, well, it's not misdirected. Banks and corporations deserve a lot of the blame, but banks couldn't get bailed out if it wasn't the government forcing people to bail them out.
Right.
And corporations wouldn't exist because governments are the ones that create corporations. Government is a legal fiction that creates other legal fictions.
Sure. Well, businesses would exist, but corporations wouldn't exist, and those businesses likely wouldn't get as large as these mega conglomerate corporations that we see today, simply because the marketplace would truly be open to competition. And it's that competition that will keep those other businesses in check, which right now, they don't have that competition. The players in any given industry are usually the ones that have been there for a long time, and they're entrenched, and they're grandfathered in. So if, like, new regulations come out, frequently they don't apply to the businesses that have been there for a long time because they're the ones writing them. Mm-hmm. Or even if they do apply, the business is happy to accept those regulations because, or the corporation is happy to accept those regulations and abide by them because for them, they're so large that the cost of implementing a regulation, whatever it might be, is very low if they spread it across all the costs of all their products and divisions. Whereas if it's a mom-and-pop startup, then it, having to jump through the same hoops is almost impossible in some cases. And so that means that you can't be a startup in a lot of industries. You can't just open up your doors. You have to jump through a bunch of hoops, and you have to beg, and you have to supplicate yourself, and you have to throw down a bunch of money at the feet of these bureaucrats before they're going to even allow you to compete.
Yeah. Well, there are also, besides just corporations and mom and pops, you have co-ops, which mm-hmm. are sort of something in between. I don't know too much about them, but from what I do know, it's people coming together with their collective resources and working towards one goal.
Like there's employee-owned businesses
sure,
as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah, there's one up in White River Junction, just an hour north of Keene here.
Yeah, so if people were able to actually innovate and enter in an industry and start a business without having to beg permission, that would mean there'd be more competition, more new innovators to come in to complete. I mean, an innovator with a great idea can revolutionize an industry. I mean, literally, in a very short period of time, can put the old dogs out of business and completely change the way things happen. But in many cases, you have to wonder, what are we not seeing? What are the great ideas that have been thrown by the wayside because the inventor or the businessman basically looked at all the regulatory structure and said, ah, screw it, I'll just go back to a 9-to-5 job. Because I can tell you, I've had that experience where when I was younger, I looked into, you know, all right, what's it going to take to start a radio station? Because I was interested in radio, and I thought, well, it sure would be great to have my own station. And, you know, I've got it can't be that hard. Technically, it's not that difficult to put one of these things together. So I started looking into it, and it was just this maze, this labyrinth of regulations and, you know, diktats, and it was just impossible to even get through it. I like to even wrap my mind around what was required by the government in order to start a radio station.
Right. You need somebody who knows how to read all that.
A lawyer.
You know,
and
to be able to interpret it for you. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for the money you'd spend on just the lawyer to get you started with applying for a radio station, you could open a radio station.
Yeah. But the cool thing is, thanks to the internet, you know, what you're doing with LRN.FM, you have constant liberty programming. And then what we're seeing is in Manchester and in Keene, people are broadcasting that.
Well, they were, but right now those stations are both off the air.
Oh, both of them are off the air. So, but it can be done.
It can be, yes.
And I hope they return.
I think eventually they will. I mean, the more liberty lovers that move here to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, the more likely they're going to be property owners and people that are willing to take some risk. Because it's a risky endeavor, the idea of running a transmitter. People are afraid of what the FCC might do to them.
They'll show up at your door and ask you to take it down, won't they?
Typically, that's the first step. Although, there's one guy who claims that he got raided right out the gate.
Wow.
So, most of the time, they send a threatening letter, and that's about all. More coming up here, 855-453. If you stop, they leave you alone. This is Free Talk Live.
And now it's time for the Leadership Radio Minute, with tips and advice on how to maximize your own leadership potential. Here's international leadership expert and New York Times best-selling author, John C. Maxwell.
Political philosopher Niccolo Machiavelli wrote, "It's not the titles that honor men, but the men that honor titles." If you want to make the most of your position and honor whatever title you may possess, then you cannot rely on a title to help you lead others. Leadership isn't a right, it's a privilege, something that must be continually earned. We leaders don't deserve our positions. They've been given to us in trust. If you're a leader, don't take anything for granted. Good organizations are built by servant leaders who work very hard every day to keep the organization moving forward toward its vision, not just for their own sake, but for everyone they lead and serve. For the Leadership Radio Minute, I'm John C. Maxwell.
For more information on how to maximize your own leadership potential, please visit johnmaxwell.com. True leadership isn't a matter of having a certain job or title. In fact, being chosen for a position is only the first of the five levels every effective leader achieves. In his new book, The Five Levels of Leadership, leadership expert and New York Times bestselling author John C. Maxwell helps you to become more than the boss people follow only because they're required to. He gives advice on how to grow further, achieve results, and build a team that produces. The Five Levels of Leadership, the newest book from John C. Maxwell, is available wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous SuperTuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your SuperTuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live. You can bring up what you want. The toll-free number for you is 1-855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Jason.
And Luther.
Jason here, courtesy of his website, tally.tv. That's TALLEY.TV. Jason, if people go there tonight, what are they going to see?
I have reports from Occupy Wall Street, but I'm working on videos from my experience at both places and some interesting stuff that I saw. I kept the cameras rolling the entire time.
Yeah, it's been here in Keene. It's been interesting. It's been small but good. I mean, Keene's a little town. There's only 25,000 people that live here, and there were over 100 people in the park on Saturday. One guy camped out heroically alone overnight that night. Was left alone by the police that night. The police sergeant did come and talk to him, but he said he had no problem with him being there, so he was not harassed beyond just a conversation. But then last night, two tents were put up. There was another lady that came out, and before midnight, I think it was, they were told to leave, mm-hmm. or else they'd be charged with some city ordinance violation. And so rather than get arrested, they decided to go ahead and leave. Now, I don't know if that means that it's over. I don't know if that means there's going to be more coming later in a larger form in a different place. It remains to be seen where things are going to go around here. But if you want to share your experiences with the Occupy movement, you're certainly welcome to do so at 855-450-FREE. In fact, I've got some very interesting news about that coming up here. But, Luther, I know you wanted to comment on kind of do-it-yourself stuff. We were discussing how corporations work with the government to, you know, keep people out of their businesses and their industries and create all kinds of intrusive and obtrusive regulations prevent innovators from jumping in and investing in business to compete.
Yeah, but fortunately people find ways around this. And the two greatest examples I can think of are hackerspaces and fab labs. A hackerspace is kind of a club for computer geeks to get together, and you know, they can kind of be hackers if they want, or they can do whatever they want. They can build their own hardware, they can develop software together, and it's a sort of a club slash it's almost a business model because you can make a profit on it,
mm-hmm.
If you produce a good service or goods, you know, and put those out there into the marketplace.
So it's like a LAN party but with productivity.
Yes,
basically.
Yes. So a fab lab is the same idea, except it's for people who are into engineering, mechanics, metalworking,
machining
in general, CNC stuff, lathe. So they can come together and pool their resources and make anything they want, pretty much. It's a club. It's not necessarily a business.
So is it normally that when you've got one of these fab labs, is it usually like a single investor who goes ahead and jumps through the hoops to create this, or are they groups of people coming together?
Well, I guess it depends on the lab itself, but you could have either way. I mean, you could either have just one person front the money to rent the space, you know, and everybody else pays dues to them, and they're mm-hmm. sort of the owner or the deed holder or whatever of that space, and you just kind of pay a membership like you would in any other kind of club, come in and work and learn from other people. It's also good for educational outreach. I mean, a lot of places here in New Hampshire will teach small engine repair, and a fab lab would be great for that.
So basically you're paying to, use the equipment and whatever wear and tear happens to that equipment, paying for the space, essentially.
Right.
And the time.
Yep.
Cool.
Now, what about the 3D printing? Do you know much about that?
I know only a little about that.
It's new.
It is really new. I'd love to get my hands on one of those 3D printers and be able to take a closer look at them. I've only ever been able to watch videos of them because I don't know anybody who has one.
Well, they've got, isn't it like plastic that they make things out of? I guess there's different
things. It's a plaster of some kind. You can use different materials, and there are different methods for 3D printing. Some just kind of layer them, like one layer at a time. And then the next will etch whatever out of like a solid block of plaster.
I saw I was looking into 3D printing, and at one point there was, they put together a car, I guess. They like printed the parts for a car.
Yeah, Andrew and I were discussing this, and we talked about it on the show when Mark was hosting up the Monday nights while you were in jail, Ian. But we were talking about this, and he brought up the point, well, how does it have any structural support if it's just made of plastic? There has to be some kind of metal in there for, like, the frame.
Yeah.
So maybe what they do is they just buy the chassis, and they build everything else and then assemble it.
Yeah, I wasn't too clear on exactly how that went about happening.
Sure,
yeah,
you can print metal. I'm looking at this article in the New York Times, and it says it could be plastic or metal.
Or metal?
Just has to be a different type of printer, I guess.
Okay.
But it's great that these things are getting started now, because it's only going to get better and cheaper over time.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, we're talking
and
about...
They're already self-replicating. You can just... A lot of people have posted the blueprints to these machines, and if you have one, you can print out another
machine.
Well, and assemble it.
Just think about the ramifications of this. I mean...
It's huge.
It is huge.
Well, here's one example for you as far as a ramification. So if you're developing a product, let's say you're going to develop the Jason Talley bobblehead doll. If you're developing a product, you've got to put time and effort into designing it, and you have to send it off to like some sort of a factory elsewhere to manufacture a test version of it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, they've got to make a test mold for it, and they've got to, you know, there's a big cost in creating that first product, right? Once you get the mold and you know the mold's good, then you can fill that mold and billion times and really lower the cost of the product. But that first test design mm-hmm. is the one that costs a lot. And of course, you know, if you're designing something important, maybe not the bobblehead's not the best example, but something very important, you probably are going to go through several iterations of different test designs. And so there's, you know, costs each time. You have to set up molds for those products. Well, now with the 3D printer, you can print your own test products in your own warehouse or laboratory or whatever, mm-hmm. and there's no cost to set up any kind of a press or whatever the machines would be that you would need to do it, because the printer can just take the specs and then create whatever it is you're looking for. Oh, I don't like that. I need to change that. No need to call up your Chinese manufacturer and wait, 2 months or 2 weeks right. or however long it takes, and then order that again. You can do it right there in 5 minutes.
Right, yeah. And usually when you order something, it's cheaper to buy it in bulk. So if you just want to make a small amount, if you don't need mm-hmm. to make a large amount of whatever you're doing, your bobblehead or what have you, you can just print out a few, or a few dozen even.
Yeah, so that alone, I mean, just that one factor, and I barely, I'm not a manufacturer, so I don't even have any clue as to all the other ways.
Yeah, well, you're saving on a lot of equipment, which is overhead. You're saving on training people to know how to use that equipment, which usually they have to be specialized in. They need years of experience.
Right, now they can hit print.
Yeah. So that cost is cut down as well.
But it could change everything. I mean, it could change our relationship with corporations, with governments. I'm looking forward to this. And like I said, it's just going to get cheaper and just going to be more widespread, especially if these printers can build other printers.
Yeah, and I love how open source it is. I really love open source software. I'm starting to learn about Linux. I like this idea of open source hardware now.
Have you seen an open source farm equipment and like a factory equipment?
Yes. Were we talking about him on the break? Is that the guy we were talking about?
No, but there's a movement of people that put their plans online and show you how to make your own tractors and farm equipment,
which can be very expensive, but for a few hundred dollars, you can just make up your own tractor. And this is something I want to, I think could work well with the Fab Labs is, teaching people how to build this stuff, like teaching them how to weld and teaching them how to cut metal, and how to build an axle and how to get the geometry right on that.
Maybe you've got something you want to add to this conversation or bring up anything you'd like. 1-855-450-FREE is the number. Plus, coming up on October 19th, get over to blackthisout.com. Go there now, bookmark it, and then go back on the 19th, because that's going to be the day when you're going to be able to get behind the Ron Paul campaign in a way that will create a ripple in politics so big no media outlet will be able to ignore him. Go to blackthisout.com to learn more and get involved. That's blackthisout.com. More Free Talk Live coming up.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought no one with me. No one will be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Drinking too much coffee.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas. The Lost Vegas. Now available at Amazon.com.
Freeze Dry Guy customers, take advantage. No, we really want you to take advantage of the October 2011 month special. We have bug-out meat buckets to beef up your real freeze-dried beef and chicken supply. You can beat everyone to the punch because we're offering Freeze Dry Guy customers this order early October deal. Special pre-order price of $119 is now $109. Whether on the go or storing for the future, you have a gold standard in convenience, taste, and nutrition. When variety and quick preparation is paramount, our handy 4-serving pouches are excellent for 72-hour kits, camping, hunting, and backpacking. Our freeze-dried meat can even be added to your everyday routine. From last-minute dinner ideas to high-protein snacks, order now at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at bestbloodsupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live. You can bring up anything by dialing the toll-free number, which is brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Speaking of SACL, they have a full-orbed approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL knows the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful. They record every call and have the best equipment money can buy, so your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com. That's SACL, C-A-I. So we continue here. We'll, of course, take your calls about anything you want. In other news regarding the Occupy protests that are going on around the country right now, it looks like maybe somebody's been listening to some really good advice, because it seems as though the next plan is to occupy the courts.
No kidding. I've not heard about this. Tell me more.
Yeah, this is great news out of New York City, and the story is from the New York Daily News, nydailynews.com. Where lawyers representing about 800 Occupy Wall Street protesters arrested in the past month have demanded that prosecutors drop the charges. If not, they say they won't deal and will insist on going to trial, putting pressure on the already overloaded Manhattan criminal courts. Every court in this country is overloaded because they're always arresting people who have not actually done any harm to anyone else. So they're loaded up with drug dealers and users and other people that haven't stopped at stop signs and things like that. So now they're doing what we've talked about for a long time on Free Talk Live. And here in New Hampshire, it's kind of a theme that is commonly found amongst the activists, is when somebody gets arrested for something, if they haven't harmed others, they don't take the plea deal, and they go to court, and they take it to trial. Now, we haven't had the ability to do this in any significantly large numbers. The largest one was the trespass of 12 that happened a year ago here at the jail, where 12 of us were arrested. They dropped three of the charges. 9 people ended up going to trial on that one. There's now been the mass arrest in Manchester as well for chalking, where I think 8 people, if I'm recalling correctly, were arrested. So those are really the largest chunks arrests that we've had, and all those folks are taking those charges to trial, which means the court system has to take on another 8 or 9 trials, which means it's got to spend at least, you know, probably 9 hours in court, maybe longer, depending on how many witnesses get called, going through whatever motions they need to go through in order to get to a verdict, rather than just making it easy for them and taking a plea of guilty.
And if I was a taxpayer, I would be outraged that my money was being spent in this way on that the trespass of 12 was about people who were actually on public property in a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the chalking case in Manchester was just people simply putting chalk on sidewalks and on walls of public property also. So,
and I think it was in Ademo's case, he was one of the first, I think he was the first to be arrested. It was because he was walking away from a cop as the cop was demanding his identification. So some of them weren't even arrested for chalking necessarily.
Right. Or someone like Kate, who was just standing somewhere
right
on the sidewalk, and they said, you have to leave, that's a crime scene, and they arrested her. They just nabbed her right up.
Actually, I believe they asked right her to leave. And they did not order her to leave.
Oh, okay.
And she, you know, was willing to leave, but they arrested her so quickly that she didn't really have the chance to really even process what was happening to her.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, it's just the outrages continue. But when you actually get numbers, significant numbers, I mean, I'm talking 25, 50, 100 people, then it really becomes a burden on these court people, because these prosecutors aren't used to having to build a case. They're used to people taking plea deals.
Yeah, making deals with the public defenders.
They're used to having you just be so afraid of all the charges that you're facing that you'll crumble and you'll take the deal and you'll sign off on it and you'll never have to set foot in the court. And who wants to? Nobody wants to go to court. Nobody wants to get up there in front of the man in a robe who at any time on a whim can have you locked up for contempt because, you know, he didn't like the fact that you were wearing a hat or picking your nose or something like that. And so if you actually do send a large amount of people in here, it's really going to clog their system up, especially if there's some supposed right to a speedy trial, because scheduling 800 trials, I think, is going to be pretty difficult for their courts. I know it's New York City. They probably have a few courts in there, but it's still going to be a real challenge for them to get all these people in for a so-called fair and speedy trial. And that's what the lawyers know this. And so they're saying to the district attorney, hey, look, you should just dismiss these charges or else you're going to have a whole lot of work on your plate. Stoller, this is the defense lawyer in the case, Martin Stoller, and other members of the civil rights-focused National Lawyers Guild plan to meet with prosecutors from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office to lay out their position. At least some protesters who face charges, including 2 out-of-towners arrested last week, will demand their day in court. Zach Welch, age 20, of Rochester, spent 24 hours behind bars for so-called resisting arrest and wearing a mask depicting Guy Fawkes. He says, I didn't do anything wrong. I was expressing my rights. The district attorney's office had no comment on the meeting and said all cases are reviewed individually. In general, officials said that first-time offenders on minor crimes are routinely offered what is known as a adjournment in contemplation of dismissal. That makes sense, right?
Why don't you sit in the corner and just think about it?
Meaning charges are tossed out after 6 months if the offender is not re-arrested. The vast majority, and I imagine that means, well, that's an interesting, so that's not really that's not really a plea deal, is it?
It's just a short leash for people that have been through the system before.
Right, so it's a suspended sentence. It's kind of like a suspended sentence. Like, hey, you'd be good
before,
for the next
before you're even convicted, though, I mean, so.
Right, you haven't been convicted, so it would essentially mean that you couldn't get arrested again, which means you shouldn't be out at the protests if you don't want to get rearrested. So that would be their way of trying to discourage people from going back out. They said 47 people were arrested and held overnight. The vast majority of these protesters were issued summonses for violations and desk appearance tickets for minor crimes. 47 people were arrested and held overnight, and so far, 5 of those cases have been dismissed because of a lack of evidence. If the DA pursues the remaining cases, protesters will be marching into the courtrooms en masse beginning November 15th when 60 demonstrators are set to appear before one judge.
Occupy the courts.
Yep.
Sounds great.
They are not going to be happy with that because, you know, these courtrooms are supposed to be open to the public. But if you've got 1,000 people trying to get into a courtroom that holds 100, and I don't know how big new New York courts are. I know around here, they're not very large at all. The largest courtroom I've been in has held maybe about 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
In the viewing area.
Yeah, and even all the way down to like 20 people, I think. Is that how much the Superior Court can hold?
That's around here, yeah. But the bigger court in the big court was in Massachusetts that I went to, and there were like 55
right.
people in there.
Yeah. Grafton was pretty large size also.
Yeah, it was probably about 40, 45.
Yeah, yeah. So it really just varies where you go from place to place, but I always get the impression that they really don't want the public there. They just kind of They have to pretend like they do.
And
so.
they certainly don't want cameras in there so that you can get the word out to people that can't be in attendance. But I think it's great for people to be court watchers and witness what the state is doing in your name.
Oh, it's so important. If you've never been to a court before, take time out, go on a Monday morning if you can. I know a lot of people work. They don't schedule these court trials conveniently for anyone. So take time out, go in, sit in on an arraignment, and just sit there for a couple hours and watch and listen to what happens to these people.
Yes.
And
sort of see what the going-ons are, their process of doing stuff. It's like almost like a ceremony, like a religious ceremony for them.
Oh, very much so.
And if you dare to criticize or in any way change their ceremony, they get offended by it. You know, it's blasphemy.
Cannot offend the priest or else he will.
That's right.
It reminds me of a cult. You have this person in a robe, a black robe that sits higher than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when we were there for your trial, Ian,
yes.
there was they insisted that people stand up. So no blaspheme. Like a deputy put his hands on me so that I would stand up. It was outrageous.
Wow. Hey, don't forget the special lighting that the robed one gets. They've got lights in the courtroom, but if you ever notice, they always have special down lights right on the man in the robe.
I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep, he gets his own lighting. 1-855-453. That's 855-450-3733. So big plans afoot for November 15th, the first day, where 60 people from the Wall Street protests are scheduled to appear before one judge. That should be very interesting. More coming up here. You can take control. 855-453. This is Free Talk Live.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LASIG. With LASIG e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Bring up whatever you want. Dial in toll free. And 1-855-450-FREE. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian,
Jason, and Luther.
And we'll take your calls about anything. That's why we call the show Free Talk Live. I've been talking about the Occupy events and the fact that in New York City, it looks like 60 people are going to be set to appear before one judge in a Manhattan courtroom coming up on November 15th. Lawyers for the protesters are saying, hey, District Attorney, if you don't drop these charges, we're taking every single one of them to trial. And considering that you've arrested 800 people thus far, that's going to be a big load for your court system. Now, Manhattan criminal courts deal with about 90,000 cases per year, and prosecutors say they'll have little trouble absorbing the extra workload. Court officials had a different take, however. A court spokesbureaucrat said, is it a strain on the system? Yes. But the reality is the judges will deal with it. There's precedent for dismissing civil disobedience cases, however. In 1999, prosecutors dropped charges against 1,166 people, including celebrities and politicians busted over a 15-day period in the wake of the fatal police shooting of immigrant street vendor Amadou Diallo, which I believe was drug-related, if I'm recalling correctly. I could be wrong.
I don't recall it particularly interesting. About the same time, I remember hearing about a fellow who was just reaching for his keys and some NYPD pulled out their guns and shot him down.
That might have been him.
Yeah.
Raymond Costello, the former assistant DA who handled those dismissals, said the circumstances around the current arrests are very different. He said the Diallo protesters were arrested peaceably. Their plan was to get arrested, and they did it in a way that was least inconvenient for all parties. Resisting arrest makes a difference, he said. And, of course, they call resisting arrest anything. I mean, if you don't do exactly what the police officer tells you to do, they'll call it resisting arrest. Derek, who hosts this show on Tuesday night, was charged with resisting arrest for not getting into a police car fast enough.
Right, so they maced him.
And,
yeah.
Right, they pepper sprayed him in the face.
Not that those big burly gentlemen couldn't pick up little Derek and put him in the back seat themselves.
Yeah, I think Derek weighs about as much as I do. He's not a very big guy at all.
No.
Well, I was charged with resisting arrest as well as disorderly conduct just because I had a camera the size of my thumb clipped to my belt. So they love tacking those extra charges on.
Right, and usually there are catch-alls like that, like resisting or disorderly conduct, mm-hmm. or even contempt of court, you know, is another one. Which
you've got one of those too, right?
Yeah.
Kelly?
Yeah, exactly, those three.
Yeah, which is a little different because the judge will usually issue that and not the cop, so.
Right, the judge is the only one that can issue a contempt of court, from what I understand.
Okay.
And so we will see. I mean, that's pretty much the story there. Do you believe them when they say they're not going to drop the charges? I think they're bluffing. I think that this is common tactic. The prosecutor wants you to believe that this case is going to go forward. They want you to believe
right.
that.
In his favor.
Right. And they want you to believe that all the way up to the point at which the case is supposed to go forward. So we've seen people get their charges dropped the morning of the trial
mm-hmm.
because they want to sweat you out, basically. They want you to, you know, live life with this kind of overhanging fear that you're going to have to go to court and you might have to go to jail and that you'd be more likely in that case to take the plea bargain, which does tend to change as you get closer to trial. Now, none of these things I'm saying are guarantees. You never know exactly what's going to happen, but we've seen it often enough where they hold out, and then shortly before trial, you get a final plea bargain, which is better than the plea bargain they offered you at the first window of opportunity. Then they offer you a better one. If you still remain strong and you continue to demand the trial, then literally, we've seen it where somebody has driven an hour and a half to come here to Keene to face a charge and was handed a dismissal paper when he was going into court for the purpose of sitting in on the trial.
You know, it's interesting. I was leaving one of your hearings prior to you being arrested, Ian, and I ran into some kids. They were sitting out in their car, and they called me over. They said, "Hey, can we ask you a question?" I'm like, "Okay." They said, "What does this mean?" I think it was nolo contendo or...
Nolo contendere.
Contendere, yeah. And I said, oh... I looked at it and I said, "Oh, this is a plea deal. Just keep saying no until you go to court, and it'll keep going down." You know, I explained a couple other things to them on how the process works. You know, they didn't seem to have any clue. It was clear that the state was just trying to railroad them. So hopefully, I could make a difference to those kids wherever they are now.
So, but they just saw you walking down the street. You're just some stranger to these guys
in jeans and a t-shirt. Like, I don't dress up to go to court.
Did they see you in court before?
Possibly. I don't know. Maybe they saw me come out of there. Like if the court entrance is on one side of the building, they were parked on like the far corner around, like on the other side. So I don't think they saw me come out of the court. Who knows? Maybe they just recognized me as a free stater.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're doing, some of the activists up here are doing Don't Take a Plea Deal outreach, and it's something I need to get back into because I was in jail for a couple of months. And normally the way it works is one person goes to court every single day of the week if we've got it all covered. Usually we cover, I think they don't even do trials on Fridays, so I don't know if anyone's doing Fridays, but generally the idea is to cover every day of the week, ultimately, and hand out information to these folks because they have no idea what they're getting into. I mean, most people's, a lot of people that go to court have never been there before, and it's just this overwhelming and confusing experience, and it remains confusing for a long time. You really have to go to a number of trials before you really kind of start to get an idea for exactly what's going on in there, because it's like... Like you said, it's a religious observance. It's a religious ritual, and it would be like coming to some new church and trying to figure out exactly, well, what are they doing there?
Wait, where's my communion wafer?
Yeah, exactly. So it's very confusing. I remember I was at court the other day, and some young lady came in, and she stops at the guy that's frisking people at the door, and she says, "Where do I go?" Like, she didn't even know. Like, she had...
Wow.
She'd never even been in the building before.
Right, behind the halls of secrecy that is the judicial system.
So anything you can do to get information in these people's hands is going to be of value, whether it's answering a question when they pull you aside or having a pre-made brochure ready to go and get into their hands. In fact, we actually have the Don't Take a Plea Deal brochure over at tools.freekeen.com. You can go there. There's one for New Hampshire and there's one for national. So you don't have to be in New Hampshire. You don't have to be a part of the Free State Project to do this. This is a project that anybody can do. Although I'd highly recommend that if you're going to do it anywhere besides New Hampshire, that you have a few people go and do it with you. Here, it's not a big deal. At least here in Keene, I don't know about the rest of New Hampshire, but going to the courthouse and handing these out, we've never been harassed once for it.
Yeah, try doing it in Orlando.
Oh, my God, in Orlando.
Yeah.
I was just catching up on what happened to Julian Heichlin today when he was arrested while I was in jail. He was arrested for handing out fully informed jury information at the courthouse in Orlando, sentenced to over 140 days in jail because of that. And as he described it, the jail conditions weren't so terrible except for the fact that he was freezing. And was shivering pretty much his entire time in there.
The first person to freeze in Florida.
Right. Yeah, they keep those jails cold, man.
Sure. They keep it keeps the bacteria down, which I can understand. But at the same time,
they don't give you the warmth that you need.
Right. It also acts as a sort of torture for people, you know, because they've been bad, so they need to be punished. And this is sort of the mentality that all cops, or most cops, I'll say, and guards will have, is that, you know, well, you're in here for a reason. You must be bad. You need to be punished. This sort of mentality, which I think really needs to be broken down and just abandoned. It's a terrible institutionalized way of thinking.
Especially when you consider how many peaceful people are in those cages, people there for so-called crimes that have no victim. It's a shame what they do to these people. I know when I was in there, I was in isolation for like 9 hours initially, and they took my shoes. I didn't have socks on. I just had like a T-shirt on, and they give you like a piece of concrete to lay on. And it was freezing. So, of course, you have to process.
Yeah, well, I guess you would have to dehumanize someone in order to do all these things to them. You know, you would have to set up these walls in your mind, basically, to say, like, this guy is less than a human. He's a criminal, you know, mm-hmm. so this is okay now.
Well, that's why I kept talked to every single guard that I came in contact with and the other police officers and the nurse and everybody. I explained why I was there because I wanted to know that it was ridiculous. I explained that I'm a peaceful person and just so that maybe they could get through those blocks.
Sure.
Well, and at the jail that you were being held, the same one I was being held at, many of them are at least people you can connect, you can make those connections with, and a lot of them can understand what you're saying, and they can even empathize. But I agree with you, the booking procedures are just horrific, the way they treat people in there. The 280, who is somebody that you do a show with, Luther Puke and the Gang.
Yes.
What's the website for that, by the way?
PukeandTheGang.com, and we record every Sunday and post it once a week.
Yeah, so 280 was in there for a night, and he didn't process, and he stayed in that holding cell for 24 hours, no food, no water.
No socks. Bare feet.
No socks and cold, yep. And no bedding in that concrete slab, yep. And it's just it's horrible.
He entertained himself by playing with his clothes, he said.
Derek was dancing when he was in solitary.
Yeah, that's a good idea because it's a good way to keep warm.
Yeah, or exercise.
1-855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Bring up what you want. Take control of the airways. It's Free Talk Live.
The Ruger LC9. Compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP. Features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high-visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Boost Kit Essentials Nutritionally Complete Drink, providing your picky eater with essential nutrition and great taste in one drink. Visit us at kitessentials.com. To make sure your kids eat healthy, follow the 5-a-day plan. Serve 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit daily. Remember, a serving could just mean a piece of fruit or a half cup of veggies. If your kids are picky eaters, ask a nutritionist about other sources. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.